yesterday we learned about who is God. While we were discussing about God, we understood the preliminary definition of God is to know that He is the source of everything. He is the cause of all causes. He is the creator, He is the maintainer and the destroyer. But when you understand that God, that He is everywhere, at the same time He is everybody's heart, at the same time He is there in the spiritual world as Bhagavan. Yesterday we had a very clear-cut idea about Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Bhagavan featured is that feature of the Absolute Truth, where He is in the spiritual world and He has got a beautiful form. And that Bhagavan who is there in the spiritual world with a beautiful form manifests in everybody's heart as Paramatma. And the same Bhagavan is there everywhere, spread out everywhere in the form of Brahman. So if somebody has a very clear idea of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, then there will be no confusion about whether the Lord has form or doesn't have form. He is just some power, He is some light, or He is energetic, or He is powerful. So all the confusions are eliminated. Once we have an idea of who is Bhagavan, what is Paramatma, and what is Brahman, they are actually one. Like sun is one, but the same sun reflects in water as reflection. The same sun is present everywhere in the form of sunshine. So Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, they are all one only. But though they are one, but the manifestation is different. Like one is reflection, the sun's reflection, the other is the sun rays. The same way, sun reflection and the sun, they are dependent on the sun. In the same way, Paramatma and Bhagavan features the absolute, Paramatma and Brahman features the absolute truth, are dependent on Bhagavan. Yesterday we learned the definition of Bhagavan. The definition of Bhagavan is one who is having six qualities in full. They are beauty, wealth, strength, fame, knowledge and renunciation. Whoever have got this, all the qualities in full, then only they can be claimed, they can claim as Bhagavan. So whoever has these qualities definitely has a personality. And if God has got these qualities, then He has a personality. And if He has a personality, then He is a person. So yesterday we understood how God is a person full of emotions. You can talk to Him, you can play with Him. As much as you wait for your friend to come, as much as you deal with your father and mother, in the same way, Bhagavan also, the Absolute Truth also has His emotions. Bhagavan also wants to have play with mother, play with friends. So these emotions are there existing in Bhagavan. And not only that, we understood that how, whoever have got the six qualities, to that extent they become attractive. That means these qualities inherently have a feature of attraction within them. So if Bhagavan has all the six qualities in full, that means He is all attractive. So if Bhagavan is all attractive, and in Sanskrit the word all attractive means Krishna, so then Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Yesterday we also learned that how Krishna, He showed to the world when He appeared that how He has got all the opulences. Not only He is all beautiful, not only He is all rich, He is also all renounced. All these qualities we explained, how Krishna is all powerful and is all famous. 5,000 years back He just stole butter, a simple activity. But even after 5,000 years, we still talk about Him. That shows that He is all famous. And yesterday, not only we discussed about Krishna being the Supreme Person, but He also discussed that how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Especially in India, there is a big confusion. They think that there are many gods. Actually, it's not that there are many gods. There is only one Bhagavan. There is only one God. But the confusion is that about the demigods. Especially these days, there is a big propaganda going that the Hindus, they are worshipping many gods. But we are belonging to a certain sect of religion. We have only one God. So it is very simple to accept one God. this foolishness to accept many gods. But even if you see, whether it is any other religion, there is a description of angels. There is a description of God of wind. There is a description of God of rain. There is a description of God of heaven. So, it is not that in the other religious scriptures like Bible or Quran, there is no mention of the demigods. Even there is a description of different gods worshipped by the Greeks. There, in the Greek civilization, they have gods. The god of rain, the god of wind. So it is not that in the civilizations of the West or the Middle East, there is no description of the demigods. But there is a little description, not very elaborate description. The elaborate and a very perfect and a scientific description you find in the Vedic literatures. So the acceptance of demigods is not that it is only in the Vedic literatures. It is there even in Bible. When the description happens about the birth of Jesus, there is a description how the angels came. Who are those angels? They are the demigods. But the problem is, when there is a confusion between Bhagavan and the demigods or the Devi Devatas, then there is a big confusion. So when we are very clear about there is only one God, that is Bhagavan Sri Krishna, and all the others are demigods, then everything falls in its place. When there is a confusion and accept that everybody is just God, then there is a confusion. So to remove that confusion, we understood yesterday that how, who is Ganesha and who is Durga. We also understood who is Lord Shiva. As sum and substance, all the demigods, they are actually assisting Krishna in the administration of this world. They are taking care of different departments in this world. We find that how all the demigods, they are all devotees of Lord Krishna. Not only they are devotees of Lord Krishna, they want everyone to become a devotee of Lord Krishna. When they see that their devotees are approaching them, they feel very bad about them. You know why? Because they know why they are coming to me, why they are not going to Krishna. They feel they are just coming for some business. These people are coming to me asking something from me. So anyhow, I am duty bound to give them because they have done a particular kind of vidhi or so. So I will give them. So they are actually not very happy with their own devotees. That is why Lord Shiva tells his own wife Parvati. He says, chant the name of Ram. So Ganesha is requesting everyone to read Bhagavad Gita. In this way, Brahma himself is telling the real Supreme Lord is Krishna. Surya himself is a disciple of Lord Krishna. So we find that how all the demigods, they are not only able administrators in the administration of Krishna, but also they are all devotees of Lord Krishna. And yesterday we concluded our talk on God and demigods by speaking about how Krishna is the only object of worship. Vishnureva Sadaradhyaha Saradeveshwareshwara Idare Brahmarudraya Ravidgiyagat Kadachana. On the respect is for the demigods. Krishna is the only object of worship and demigods need to be respected because they are not ordinary people. They are very exalted personalities. They are not ordinary people like us. They are very, very highly qualified and very close and dear to Krishna. That is what we learnt yesterday. Now today we are going to talk about a very important subject matter, that is about Prakriti and Karma. If possible, talk about Kala also. Prakriti. We have discussed about Ishvara and Jiva, then Prakriti, Kala, Karma is left. So we will try to discuss about Prakriti and Karma today. If possible, we will discuss about Kala. Now what is Prakriti? Prakriti means material world. Now in the second day we discussed about soul. While discussing about the soul, we talked about how the soul leaves the body at the time of death and goes to another body. Now the question arises that based on which or based on what we get a next body. Is it that in the next body if I am a human, I will get a human body only? Is it that if I am a female, will I get a female body next life? No. The Vedic literature says that in the next life, we have 84 lakh options. They are known as 84 lakh species or yonis. 84 lakh varieties of options we have in front of us. Padma Purana gives a description, a classification of these 84 lakh varieties. Jalajana Lakshani Stavaraha Lakshamshadi. Jaladalu Lakshani means what? There are 9 lakh varieties of aquatics. And Stavaraha Lakshamshadi, 20 lakh species of plants, trees, and creepers. And Krimika Rudrasankikaha. Krimika means that those who are ants and some insects. There are how many? 11 lakh varieties of them. And then Vihangaha, that is Dashalakshani, 10 lakh varieties of birds. And 30 lakh varieties of four-legged animals. And 4 lakh varieties of human species. Now just imagine, these days the botany people, they say they have found out around 70,000 species of plants and trees. But Vedic creatures give information that there are 20 lakh varieties of them. Just imagine, the Vedic botany is too advanced. And if they give a botanical name for all the 20 lakh varieties, even the computers will go mad when you upload the data about the botanical names of these 20 lakh varieties of trees and creepers. And even the zoologists will be completely amazed to know they have come to know about 30,000 species, that is what they say. Now we know that in the Vedic literature there are so many varieties of species. Now only difference is the species which are described in our Vedic literatures, their classification is not based on the bodily differences. It is not like chordates, non-chordates, Protophora, Cnidaria, like that. There are different kinds of classifications made based on their bodily structure. But the Vedic literatures, when they classify the species, they are classifying according to the level of consciousness which the species have attained. Depending on that, there is a distinction between a species and a species. Just imagine, we have 84 lakh varieties. Jalajana Lakshani, 9 lakh varieties. 11 lakh varieties in insects, 20 lakh varieties, 10 lakh varieties birds, 20 lakh varieties trees, 50 lakhs, and 30 lakh varieties of four-legged animals that became 80 lakhs, and 4 lakh varieties of humans that becomes 84 lakh varieties of species. Now, in the next life, I may get any of these 84 lakh species. It is not that if I am a human, I will be human in the next life. It is not that if I am a female, if I am a woman, I will get a woman's body next life. No, there is no guarantee about it. Now, no question arises, based on what we get the next body. Now, it is a very simple thing. Where when you go to a shop, what kind of car you can buy, or if you go to a shop, if you go to a cloth shop, what kind of clothes you can buy, it depends on how much you can pay. Isn't it? So in the same way, what kind of body you are going to get next life is depends on how much you can pay for it. And what is the currency? It is your karma. That means whatever you have done in this life, based on that you get the next body in the next life. Now a question arises here. Why is it so that everybody is soul? Though everybody is soul, why people behave in different ways? Why people act in different ways? Why they have different natures? Why they have different desires? Not only just two people, even twins have different natures. Where is this so many varieties of natures coming from? So many varieties of desires coming from? So the answer is given in our Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, everybody in this world is influenced by the modes of nature. Sattvam rajastamiti gunan prakriti sambhavan tan nivaddanti dehe dehinam avyayam. So sattvam rajastamiti gunan. So everybody is influenced by three modes of material nature: sattvaguna, rajaguna, and tamaguna. These three modes constitutes the material nature, prakriti. Now it is very difficult to understand what these three modes of nature are. But we can understand with an example. We'll take three families as example. Primarily influenced, one family primarily influenced by mode of goodness. one family primarily influenced by mode of passion and one family primarily influenced by mode of ignorance. And we will try to understand what these three modes are. Naturally, everybody is influenced by all three modes, but percentage varies. Like for example, you have so many colors in this world and each color has infinite number of shapes. Where are these infinite colors and infinite shapes coming from? Basically, it is a mixture of three colors, yellow, red and blue. When you mix these three colors in different percentages, you get different colors, and within the color also you get different shapes. In the same way, when Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna is influencing the consciousness of a person in different degrees, in this way there are different natures, swabhava, and different kinds of desires and different kinds of actions. Though the soul is the same in everyone, but still the activities and the nature is different just because they are influenced by different percentages of the combination of the modes of nature. Some may have 70% goodness, 10% ignorance, 50% passion. Some have 50, 20, 30. Some have 40, 40, 20. And different combinations. You can make unlimited number of permutations and combinations of these percentages of the modes of nature. So it is very simple. As many colors and as many shades are there, just based on three colors, in the same way, just based on the three modes, there are unlimited numbers and numbers of behaviors, of thought process, of bodies. That shows that everybody in this world is influenced by all the three modes of nature, sattva, rajas, tama. But primarily for examination purpose, for understanding purpose, we will take a family who is primarily in mode of goodness. A family primarily in mode of goodness conducts his life in this way. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tatra sattvam nirmalatva prakashatma anamayam sukasangena buddhati jnana sangena chanaka. Tatra sattvam nirmalatva. Sattvaguna gives nirmala. It is not very contaminating. It is pure. Sattvaguna. Tatra sattvam nirmalatvam prakashatmakam, it is very much illuminating. Anamayam, it is less sinful. Prakashatmakam anamayam sukasangena badnanti jnana sangena chanaga. A sense of material happiness, a sense of knowledge is experienced by a person in mode of goodness. A person in mode of goodness is always peaceful. You know why he is peaceful? Because the formula by which he conducts his life is simple living, high thinking. Since he is simple living, high thinking, and he is always peaceful, Sattvaguna is always symptomized by peace. Now, let us see how a family in mode of goodness conduct their life. A family in mode of goodness, they govern their life by certain principles. Their principles means they have a regulated lifestyle. And the first and the foremost important principle in their life is they get up early in the morning. That is why they are in mode of goodness. That is why their whole life is regulated. And that is why they are peaceful. That is the first symptom, getting up early in the morning. And they get up early in the morning. And he goes, and then next thing is he takes bath, he cleans himself. And they are very much interested in cleanliness. A person in mode of goodness, he wants to keep himself clean, and he wants to keep the surroundings clean. And then the second principle of a person in mode of goodness. The third principle is they have a sense of duty and responsibility. Even though they have a family, though they love the family, but their love is not on the platform of some kind of emotion. It is the platform of responsibility. Sometimes when you love somebody on the platform of some passionate emotion, the more you love, it is only just transformed into anger sometimes. That is why we find a person tells one day I love you, other day says I hate you. Why? Because their relationship is not based on responsibility. Their relationship is based on flickering passion. So here a person in mode of goodness, he feels a sense of responsibility. Then he wakes up his children, make sure the children they are clean, they are done their homework properly, and by the time the dutiful wife had cooked their breakfast, and all of them, before they sit together, eat together, they pray together. It is said that a family which prays together stays together, a family which eats together stays together. So you find these days it is not happening. Everybody has their own time, isn't it? The mother eats in a different time, the son eats, the daughter eats in a different time, the husband eats in a different time. So when they don't have even time to sit together and eat, what to speak of sit together and pray? So first they sit together and then pray together and then have their breakfast together. And now the father, he leaves the children to the school. While leaving the children to the school, they give some moral values to the children. And he also goes to office in time. And he also does all the activity, all the work in time. He doesn't do work over time. Neither he is lazy in his work. He is very much lives a life of principles. Comes back home and he wants to please his wife and children. He takes care of them, makes them happy by giving them some gifts. And they all, if they are to go out, they go out not to some hotels, not to some parties. They would go to places of scenic beauty where they get more peace of mind, and sometimes they would give charity, and sometimes they would go to temples of the churches, and they are more in a very principled lifestyle. And you find in their house only those things which are very much required. Only things which are required they accept in their house, not that unnecessary things they go and buy. They are very much calculative in what to spend and on how much to spend. In all this way, we find a family in mode of goodness, very much self-controlled and very much regulated, and they are living a very peaceful life because their living is based on the formula of simple living, high thinking. Now, we'll talk about passion. A family in mode of passion is like this. Krishna talks about mode of passion. He says, Rajo ragatmakam vidyat Krishna sanga samuddhanti mahabhavo karma sangeena dehina. Krishna says that mode of passion is symptomized by always anxiety. As much as goodness is symptomized by peace, passion is symptomized by anxiety. It means a person in mode of passion, or a family in mode of passion, is always in anxiety. And why they are always in anxiety? Because the formula based on which they conduct their life is what? Money is honey. That is their formula. Money is honey. For a person in mode of goodness, it's simple living, high thinking. So these people in mode of passion, they think more money, I'll get more enjoyment. So therefore, getting more enjoyment, they get more money. In this way, what they are doing? Working hard and hard. Shramatasya shavafalam hi. The Bhagavatam says, a person in mode of passion, what is the result of hard work? Hard work only. The result of hard work is hard work. So there is no actual enjoyment. He is thinking, expecting, oh, by doing hard work, I'll get this, after getting this, I'll enjoy. But the enjoyment doesn't come. He's going on doing hard work. That is why Rajo Ragatmakam. Why it happens? Because of Raga. Raga means attachment. Now a person in mode of passion is attached. Just imagine, always think, somebody in this world, when he's very attached to you, when she is very attached to you, you should understand this attachment, if it is based on passion, it is actually not attachment to you. It is not attachment to you, it is attachment to yours. Maybe your assets, or your maybe personal assets, or your physical assets, or your financial assets, or so. Because the passion, a person is always self-centered. He is only thinking of his or her enjoyment. And attachment is actually, seems to be to another person. Actually, attachment is only one sense enjoyment. Rajo ragatmakam vidyat trishna sanga samudbhavan. They are always in trishna. Trishna means illusion. Like in a mirage. You find there is water far away. But you go near the water, but no water. The water goes further away. It's actually a reflection of the sand. It seems to be water. In the same way, people are so much attracted to the reflection of this world. there, they see, oh, happiness is there, let me go. And then do so much of hard work to get that. That is Vitrishta Sangha Saudhvam, Tannimaddanti Mahabaho, Karma Sangena Dehenam. 24 hours they are doing work. You go and ask a person, what a passion, why don't you come to temple, why don't you come to a satsang program, why don't you come to a Bhagavad Gita class, say, I'm very busy. Busy for what? Busy for suffering. Anyhow, so in this way, person in mode of passion, they get up early in the morning. The husband has put up an alarm at 6 o'clock because he has to go and catch a bus or a train at 7:30. I don't know, it is not so much in Sri Lanka, but it's in Bombay, you have to catch 7:15 train, means you have to catch it somehow or other, because you have to be sharp. If you miss that, then gone. So they get up 6 o'clock, you are like, the alarm is done, he gets up. Alarm rings, he gets up, it feels. As soon as he gets up, his body is paining, he is so tired. That is called mode of passion. Because whole night, his body was lying down, but he was not sleeping. That is why he slept, and when he gets up, his body is paining, he feels tired. What is this? You should be fresh. Why? Because the mind was very much active whole night. The mind was dreaming of getting that, doing these things. In this way, the whole night he was dreaming. That is why he has not got any proper rest. He feels like, okay, I'll take 5 more minutes, I'll just sleep. And he takes rest for 5 more minutes, and all of a sudden he wakes up and sees the watch. It is not 6:05, it is already 7:30. Now, he sees next to him, the wife is still snoring. He starts shouting at the wife, you are still sleeping, it's already 7:30, don't you know I have to go to office? And she says, you have to go to office, I don't have to go. That is how the day starts. The day starts with a fight. Because their whole consciousness, they are so much in anxiety, that is why they cannot be peaceful. They always, the day starts with a fight. Somehow or other he gets the children into the, his children are still sleeping. Somehow he puts them in the bathroom. And they come out, mommy, mommy. They are so happy. They tell the mommy, just see, go, what's happened in the bathroom. Papa has put the geyser on, now without water in it. It is burnt. And the wife becomes so angry. And she starts shouting at the husband, says, what is this you have done? Where did I take bath today? I cannot take bath without hot water. She is not concerned what is some object to the something in the house is spoiled. She is concerned about her own enjoyment, her own pleasure. So this is called a family mode of passion. Somehow or other, he is already late. He drops the children to the school and he has reached the office quite late. And he is so much of fear. Boss should not shout at me. Now somehow he sneaks into his working table and he is working. By the time the secretary of the boss comes, the boss has called him. He goes to the cat inside. Now, boss is shouting at him, yelling at him. But he's very much attached to his promotions, very much attached to his increments. So, he takes all the scoldings and he somehow is working. Whole day is working. And overtime is working. And he's still in the office just because the boss has not left. And now the call comes from the home. The wife calls him, says, what are you doing? Where are you? I'm in the office. He says, what kind of husband you are? You should have got married to somebody in the office itself. And now, he says, I'm coming. After some time she calls again, still he's in the office. Then she starts blasting him, saying that, you forgot today is our marriage anniversary. Something. Now he goes out and somehow greets the boss. He comes out, takes some bouquet or something like that, comes to the house. He presses the calling bell, the door doesn't open. After half an hour it opens. He goes in and then tries to please the wife. And now somehow she becomes pleased. And they are sitting together and talking together about the day, first day when they met with each other. All these memories are coming. They are very happy and in a good mood. And now the children come. And now the wife says, you see, our children, they have got the results today. They have not shown me. Show your progress card results. the first son comes with the result card. Father sees he has failed in 3 subjects. He starts shouting at the boy, "See, I am working so hard, sending to the best of the school, best of the tuitions I am giving. What is the result here?" He's shouting at him. Then he says, "What is the use of shouting at you?" He shouts at the wife, "What is this you are doing? Whole day you are going to that beauty parlor, this kitty party, that kitty party, and you not take care of your children?" Then she says, "What are you saying? They are my children. Aren't they your children or what?" This is called mode of passion. 2 minutes back, they were in love with each other. They are talking about the first day when they met. And all of a sudden, the mood changes. You can't expect a person in mode of passion when he is nice to you, when he is angry with you. What happens, only even Krishna also cannot know. It's very difficult to predict the behavior of a person in mode of passion. So somehow, this is how actually they conduct their life. And sometimes they do charity also. But their charity is like this. It's a real story I'm going to tell about a person in mode of passion giving charity. I was regularly from my college in Calcutta. I used to go to Mayapur once in 15 days. And stay there for a couple of days. And then hear to different lectures and all. The president of the Mayapur temple at the time, he showed me one person and told a story about him. Actually, this person was a businessman from Calcutta. He had come to Mayapur once and then donated around maybe 100 fans or so to be put up in the temple hall. So then the temple president told, "Okay, we'll put up the fans." In this way he went. And after a few days he came again. And then asked the temple president, "Have you put up my fans in the temple hall?" Temple president told, yes, we have put up. All the fans in the temple are yours only. You see the new fans are there." Then a couple of days he stayed and he was about to leave. He came to the president and told, "I am leaving, but I have one request. You see the fans which are kept in the temple, it's like even I don't know that I have given them. At least you should have written my name, isn't it?" The president told, "Don't worry, next time when you come, by the time we'll write your name." So he came after a few days, he saw his name was written in all the fans. He was very happy. And now he stayed for a couple of days and is about to leave. Then he came to the president and told, "See, very nice that you have written my name on all the fans, but I have a request. You have written my name only on one fin. Fan has got 3 fins, isn't it? You only have written on one fin. And people may think I have just given that tura, that piece. If you write on all the 3, it will be nice. And if possible, the middle part also." So then, okay, he did not guarantee. He said that he will try to do it. And then he left. But the car moved for some time and came back again. And he came back and told the president, "Next time when I come, make sure you write my name in all the places, all the 4 places. But one more request, make sure you don't run the fan very much." So, this is called charity in mode of passion. And sometimes they eat also. The way they eat, the things they eat, they think that they are enjoying. But actually, it is causing suffering to them. And they think that suffering is enjoyment. That is called mode of passion. Until unless they give misery to the body, they don't feel that they are enjoying. If they are peacefully sitting in a nice place, they don't want that. They have to give some trouble to the body and then reduce the trouble. And reduction of the trouble is considered to be enjoyment. I'll give you a small example. My friend on his birthday party took me to a restaurant many years back. We were in college. He was a very introvert person and he had not many friends. I was the only person who was very friendly with him. He considered me as the only friend. He told, "I want to take you and give you a treat on my birthday." And he took me to a very 5-star hotel kind of thing. Then in Calcutta, it is already cold in winter. And he took me into a restaurant of the 5-star hotel. There it was more cold inside. Because in India, the concept is, air condition means it should be cooler than outside temperature. That is the concept.
that they don't feel it is air conditioned. If it is not cooler than the outside temperature. So he went and it's so cold. And whatever I wanted, I ordered, whatever he wanted. But every time the waiter would say, he'd come and say, no, put some more masala in it, put some this thing in it, roast it more. In this way, he gave his own directions. And now I was eating, I finished my meal, I saw him. I was like feeling so cold and he was sweating. And his eyes had become red, water was coming out of even nose also. And he took the last morsel, and it is so spicy, so much of spices were there. And he took the last morsel, and his mouth is burning, and he takes a glass of cold water and drinks. He gives down and says, Majaya. So that is called mode of passion. First trouble your body, and then reduce the trouble. And so the reduction of the trouble, the reduction of the misery is considered to be happiness. It is like somebody is getting kicked 25 times a day. One day he gets only 20. Becomes so happy. Today he is only 20 for me. So that is called mode of passion. For them, happiness is nothing but the reduction of misery. Some reduction of misery that they feel they consider to be happy. So if they are peaceful, they feel I am not happy. That is what they do. They do something which causes misery to them. And then they do something so that there will be reduction in that misery and they feel some happiness in that. That is called mode of passion. It is always an anxiety. And now going further, there is mode of ignorance. Tamasajnanam vidyat bhuvanam sarvadehinam pramadarasnidhyatunnibhadanti bharata. A family is mode of ignorance, is not a family at all. They are just staying together. This is something like a new concept which has come from the West. And has become very much prevalent here. That is prevalent in India, maybe I don't know, in Sri Lanka also, it may be there. That is living relationship. That means the boy and a girl, they have seen the world, so much of disturbances are there in the relationship, the husband wife. They just say, before we get married, we try out. Can we try out? We'll try out to be good husband wife. And if we are not matching properly, then we'll try out with somebody. Before we get married, let us try out. So in this way, they try out whether they can be very good husband wife or not. They try out for 2 years. And after trying out for 2 years, they feel, okay, now we can be very good husband wife. And just they get married only to get divorced after 6 months. So much for their try out. That is called mode of ignorance. So in this way, person in a family mode of ignorance, they get up early in the morning around 11 o'clock and taking bath and all, they have forgotten. Last time when they talked to bath, even they don't know about it. Whatever is in the fridge, they find out whatever is there. Maybe there is maybe a dead piece of meat in the fridge which they have forgotten and lying down for a few months before, that they would take and eat it, and anything they would do. And they all do all kinds of activities just to maintain their body. So they do all kinds of dunambarga danda. It is all like drug peddling, etc., etc., just to exist. And their life is full of misery. And pramada alasya nidra. They are always into sleep. They are always into drugs. Always into intoxication. In this way, their life is full of misery. For them, if they get happiness, that is actually considered to be misery. They consider happiness to be misery. That is called mode of ignorance. Like a person in mode of passion, he considers the reduction of misery to be happiness. But a person in mode of goodness or ignorance, he considers the misery to be happiness. So you don't want to discuss much about a person in mode of ignorance, that you very well can imagine how horrible that person can be. So we have these three ways of conducting life. Based on these three ways of conducting life, our next body is defined. Our next body is defined according to the karma, what we do in this life. That is why we should know what is karma. The concept of karma is very important to understand. Whatever you sow, What you sow, you will reap. If you put a mango seed, you will get a mango tree. If you go to the field and throw the grains of paddy, then you will get rice, you will not get wheat. So whatever action we perform, we are definitely going to get a reaction for it. If you do a good action, then you get a good reaction. If you do a bad action, then you get a bad reaction. It is the law of nature. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Now you may say that, why is it so? There are some people who are bad but they are getting good, and some people who are good but they are getting bad. It's a very interesting question. Why good people, good things happen to bad people, when bad things happen to good people? Why is it so? It is not so. When somebody is experiencing something good in their life, so-called enjoyment, mental enjoyment in this life, you should understand, even though they are doing something bad now, they must have done something good in the past. Somebody may be experiencing some bad reaction, but he may be a good person now. But you should understand, it is because of some bad activity or a sinful activity done in the past. Now, what do you mean by past? It may not be necessarily last life, it can be this life also. It can be three lifetimes before also. It can be 10 lifetimes before also. Now, somebody may ask a question, why is it that if you have done something good or bad, it should come in this life only? No, it doesn't happen like that. Because whether you, this life or next life, ultimately you are responsible for it. As we have discussed before, that this body is considered to be a dress. When this dress is spoiled or torn off, you wear a new dress. In the same way, somebody committed a murder, and after 3-4 days, the police comes and arrests him. And he says, why are you arresting me? You committed the murder. No, I did not commit the murder. Police says, yes, we have all the proof that you committed the murder, because the CC camera recorded that. Oh, you see, the person who murdered, he was wearing a blue shirt. Can't you not see I am wearing a red shirt? So just because this person has changed the shirt, that doesn't mean he will be exempted from the punishment. In the same way, just because we have changed the dress called body, that doesn't mean we will be exempted from the punishment. The reactions may come in any lifetime. Sometimes for a small crime, or for a small mistake, or a small bad activity, the reaction comes immediately. Sometimes for a gross crime, a big crime, the reactions come maybe after years, who knows. Like we have we know that example. Like suppose you go and slap somebody, the reaction, you get slapped immediately. But somebody goes and murders somebody, we know, I don't know whether the judicial system in Sri Lanka, the judicial system in India is, even if you are murdered, no problem, you can go to the court and hang on, you will be sentenced to death, but then you can still apply appeal to the president, then that will be taken a few more years. The reaction may come maybe after several years. Like, you put a vegetable seed, the vegetables, you will get vegetables back in 6 months, maybe 1 year. But if you put a banana seed, then after 1 or 2 years you may get. Maybe if you put a mango seed, you will get mangoes after 5 years. So different karmas will lead to different reactions in different periods, span of time. It is not that every action leads to a reaction immediately or within a specific period of time. It is not guaranteed. That is why we should be very careful about understanding this law of karma. Karmanohi bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha karmana, karmanascha bodhavyam, karmano ghana viduhu. Ghana viduhu, it is very intricate. It is not very straightforward. And that is why we have an idea. Some people think that, okay, I have done some bad activity. What I will do? I will do some good. And I will neutralize them. But it doesn't happen like that. If you have done any activity, whether good or bad, definitely you have to pay the reaction for it. You have to face the reaction for it. There is no question of any neutralizing the karma.
Karma can never be neutralized. For that, I'll give you a small example. There's one person who did so much of sinful activity for which he had to take birth in the form of a dog next life. There was another person who did lot of sinful activity for which again he had to take birth in the form of a dog. But what happened was, this person, in spite of doing so much of sinful activity, he had done some charity also. Then what happened is, in the next life, both of them took the form of a dog. But one dog was traveling in Mercedes. Sometimes you are going in a cycle and you find who is traveling in the car, it's a Mercedes, the dog is there. And it's the owner, for himself, he is buying 100 rupees shampoo. For the dog, he buys 500 rupees shampoo. For his children, he buys only 150 rupees biscuit. For the dog, it is 300 rupees biscuit. So just imagine what a life the dog is leading. But now, this dog is going in the Mercedes. But this Mercedes, somehow, it runs over a dog which is lying on the street. Now, what is the difference between these two dogs? One dog is in the Mercedes, other is under the Mercedes. And God is like fractured. What is the difference? Both, when they were in the human form of life, both of them did sinful activities. One did only sinful activities, for he had to suffer as a dog, and also in the union of dog he had to suffer. But here, another one, he did some pious deeds, that is why he is enjoying as a dog also. So that is why it should be understood that karma is earned only in the human form of life. Suppose a tiger eats or kills a deer. So the tiger or the lion doesn't get the bad karma for it. Why? Because it is the instinctive nature of the tiger or the lion to do so. That is why the freedom of what to do, what not to do, is only in the human species. It is only in the human form of life where we are given the freedom to choose what to do, what not to do. Whereas animals, they don't have the freedom. They behave instinctively. A tiger behaves like a tiger, the lion behaves like a lion, a dog behaves like a dog. Whereas it is a human who can behave anyway. That is the problem. So, human being has the right, has the capacity, has the intelligence to choose on what to act and what not to act, what to do, what not to do. That is why human life is very, very precious. Human life is not just meant to live like animals. Human life is meant to actually get out of the world. That is what we discussed in the first day. Like, for example, sometimes somebody who was trained as a pilot. No, every day was flying. One day he thought, why to fly today? I want to take the airplane on the road. He comes out at the airport. It's a practice plane maybe. He just came out. And then he was driving the airplane on the road. The police were stopped him and says, get down from the plane, take this small car and go. Because this airplane is not meant to be driven on the road. It is meant to take off. The same way, this human body, we have got, human life is meant to take off from this material world. It is not meant to stay in this world. If we do our activities in such a way that we are meant to stay in this world only, then Krishna says, why human life? You can do these activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending better in the animal species. Actually, in one sense, we are competing with the animals. This human body is not meant to do the activities meant for animals. Actually, they do better. All eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they do better. Now the Asian Games are going on. Now some Olympics also, they happen. At that time, you find there is some game called gymnastics. What all efforts they put. They take young children from the age of 3 or 4 and they train them, give such rigorous training so that they just get some gold medal. And what they are supposed to do? They are supposed to do something a monkey naturally does. A monkey does this thing without training.
and it eats anything, still it is able to do. And these children, they are starved like anything, just so that they can do, they can at least imitate a monkey. Isn't it? Why? Why the human form of life is meant for some higher purpose? So human life should be dedicated only to attain higher things, not lower things. Because the lower things can be attained by human, the animals naturally. Why compete with the animals? That is why the human life is a very, very special life where we can choose to get out of this world. There is a choice. And what is the choice we have? There are four choices we have in the next life. Either go to lower species, number one. Either go to higher species, number two. Number three, you take the human birth again. Number four, that you go back home, back to world, to spiritual world. You never take birth in this again this world. These are the four choices we have. Now, how to get out of this world? If I do good, will I go to the spiritual world? No. What to speak of bad, even just by doing some good activities, pious activities, that also will not guarantee that we are going to go back home, back to God. Why? Because both good karma and bad karma, both are binding to this world. Many of us, and most of us, right from childhood, we have heard that there's some good activities and bad activities. There's something called good karma and bad karma. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, it is not just two kinds of karmas. There's something called akarma, which is a third kind of karma. So let us try to understand these three kinds of karmas. The first karma we know very well, it is good activity, pious activity, by which we can enjoy in this life or the next life. It is like accumulating a bank balance by working hard. Once your bank balance becomes sufficient so that you can enjoy for a month, so you enjoy. After the bank balance reduces, you come back again, work hard. So this is called good karma. Bad karma means what? When somebody does illegal activities, when the illegal activities, they create a negative bank account for him, so he has to go suffer and again come back for that. So this karma and vikarma, these are the two things we generally know about. But Krishna says there is something called akarma. What is the meaning of akarma? Akarma means those activities which do not have a reaction. Neither good reaction nor bad reaction. They are beyond the good and bad. They are known as akarma. So let us try to understand what is this akarma. Akarma means activities done for the pleasure of Krishna. They are known as akarma. Like you have a big departmental store, huge, I don't know, here you, the concept has come or not. There are huge, you can get right from vegetables till supercomputers there. Everything you get in that. So, you go in that, whatever you want, you take it. When you come out, you pay and cut out of it. That is called karma. Now, there is another thing called, another person, he goes to the departmental store and he takes whatever he wants and he tries to steal them and run away. He is caught up and put him in the, there he is put up in the jail. This is called vikarma. But there is one more person who goes to the departmental store, he takes whatever he wants and he comes out, he doesn't have to pay. The person there in the counter, he doesn't ask him money. You know, who is he? He is a servant or the owner of the department store. He doesn't have to pay. Why? Because whatever he has taken from the departmental store, it is for whom? It is for the owner. That is why he doesn't have to pay. That is why there is no reaction. In the same way, for a devotee of Krishna, whatever he does, it is for the pleasure of Krishna. That is why he is not bound up by karma. For him there is no reaction. All the reactions are burnt. Like the seeds, when they are burnt, they, even though you put them in the ground and pour water, it doesn't give rise to any further fruits. So the reaction, the seed of the reaction is burnt by the power of knowledge, by the power of activities done for Krishna. This is called akarma, or this is known as karma yoga. Many people have a wrong idea of karma yoga. They think karma yoga means I work hard, maintain my family. That is karma yoga. No, it is not karma yoga. If performing one's duty is karma yoga, a donkey is also doing karma yoga. What is so big thing in that? No, just by working hard, nobody becomes a karma yogi. When somebody works for Krishna, then he becomes a karma yogi. Now further we should understand what is the meaning of yoga. Yoga means connection. When you connect with Krishna through work, that is called karma yoga. Now for that, we will have a better understanding when we know about Duryodhana and the Pandavas. Duryodhana, was he doing some bad activities? No. He was a perfect king. He was executing all his responsibilities. He was treating the Brahmins, giving charity to the Brahmins. He was giving security to all the citizens. All the people under Duryodhana's rule were very happy. And more surprisingly, if you see, after the whole war got over, Krishna took Pandavas into different parts of this world. When Krishna took the Pandavas to heaven, they were shocked to see Duryodhana was in heaven. If Duryodhana was a bad person, how come he went to heaven? How come he ruled the country very nicely? In spite of Duryodhana ruling the country very nicely, Krishna did not want Duryodhana to be the king. What is the reason? Because Duryodhana was doing karma. He was not doing akarma. He was doing his duty for his pleasure. The problem is not duty or not doing duty. The problem is, whom are you doing it for? Even duty done keeping yourself in center, that is binding to this world. That is just called karma. That is not called karma yoga. When the duties are performed for the pleasure of Krishna, that is known as karma yoga. Even though one performs the duty perfectly, but if it is done keeping himself in center like Duryodhana, then that is not called karma yoga. That is why Krishna wanted Duryodhana should not be the king. Why? Duryodhana was a pious person, but he was not a spiritual person. So there is a lot of difference being pious and being spiritual. There is a lot of difference in being religious and being spiritual. Bhagavad Gita is not a religious book. Many people have this idea, oh, Bhagavad Gita is a book of religion. No, Bhagavad Gita is not a book of religion. Because at the end of the Gita, Krishna told, Sarvadharman Parityajya. Dharma means religion, Parityajya means to give up. The instruction in the Bhagavad Gita which Krishna gives, he says, give up religion, give up religiosity. Bhagavad Gita is a book of spiritual science. That is why we are supposed to be spiritualists, not just religious people, not just pious people. Because being a pious person, maybe you'll have a good life, maybe you may be a rich person next life, maybe in this life, maybe a comfortable life. But that will not take you beyond this material world. That will not take you to the spiritual world. That will not give you liberation. Now somebody may say, why we should go to the spiritual world? Because this material world is full of misery. And this is not the fit place for the soul to stay. The soul, we can never be happy in this world. in spite of all the prayasa, in spite of all the efforts to be happy, we can never be happy. Because by nature's law, we have to undergo birth, death, old age and disease. And not only these four, we have adi atmika kleshas, adi bhautika kleshas, adi daivika kleshas. These seven kinds of miseries, birth, death, old age and disease. Added to that, adi atmika, adi bhautika, adi daivika kleshas, they actually make us suffer in this world. In spite of, just imagine birth, how horrible it is. And somebody may say, oh, why are you saying birth is so horrible? What is the first thing the child does when he comes out? Baby does when he comes out? Cries, isn't it? Is he happy? And the most interesting part is, when the baby comes out crying, what others do? That is how you are introduced to this world. You cry and others laugh. And the baby is smiling, peaceful. What people do? They pinch him. And he cries, then they laugh. That's how this world is. That is how you are introduced to. And then you say, oh, what a nice world. What is that? But that is how you are introduced to this world. And birth. The child has to be in the mother's womb for 9 months, being cramped inside. And so many mother eats sometimes pani puri and bel puri or something like that. And baby, the mother is saying so tasty, and the baby has to undergo all this pungent smell inside. Birth. And as soon as we are born, along with birth, death is also born. Mrutyu janmena sahajayate. Who is the younger brother of us? There is one younger brother who is born. There is a twin who is born along with us. It's death. As soon as you are born, there is already a certificate given. You are going to die one day. So you are born with a twin brother called death. And he can attack us anytime. So just imagine. Suppose somebody has kept a gun on your head and says, nice, wonderful plate is there in front. Puri, sabjis, gulab jamuns. Eat. Will you eat? That is, what is our position? Death can come any time and we say, I want to enjoy. So, birth and old age. Even if you think, forget about death, I want to enjoy. Old age comes. So such a miserable condition we are in. It is not the fit place for the soul to stay. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, our Acharya, used to say, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master used to say, that this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman to stay. That is why we need to get out of this world. And the way, the procedure to get out of this world is to perform this akarma. Akarma means activities which are done for the pleasure of Krishna. It is not just performance of our duties. Even the duties have to be performed for whom? For the pleasure of Krishna. Like Pandavas. Arjuna actually did not want to fight the war. But for the pleasure of Krishna, for the sake of Krishna, he fought the war. So, activity is done for Krishna. Like a child, when he studies for Krishna. A businessman does business for Krishna. When a householder runs his household for the pleasure of Krishna, as a duty towards Krishna, then the household is not no more his household. It becomes Krishna's household. That is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tasmat, my dear Arjuna, what you should do? That Ma Manuspara Yuddha Cha. Constantly think of me and you fight. So it is not just, okay, I want to give up. I want to be renounced. Actually, renunciation has very little to do with spirituality. What it has got, what is spiritual? Spiritual means when you connect yourself with Krishna, that is called spirituality. When you connect through work, it is called karma yoga. When you connect through your knowledge, When you connect to Krishna through knowledge, that is known as Jnana Yoga. And ultimately, by performing Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, one comes to the platform of pure devotional service. That is known as devotional service or Bhakti Yoga, pure devotional service. And this pure devotional service constitutes some activities like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Prahlad Maharaj was this 5-year-old boy. He was asked by Hiranyakashipu, his father, "Tell me, what is the thing which you have learned the best?" Then Prahlad Maharaj told, "Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. Idipum Sarpita Vishnu Bhaktisce Navalakshana, Kreti Bhagavatyadha Bhakti. Kriti Bhagavatyadha." He says, one should perform these activities. What is the activities? Shravanam. Shravanam means to hear about Krishna. Kirtanam means to chant the names of Krishna. And Smaranam means to think of Krishna. Padasevanam, to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. Archanam means to do puja. Vandanam means to glorify Krishna and pay obeisances to Krishna. Dasyam, considering oneself to be servant of Krishna. Atmanivedanam, Sakhyam, to be considered oneself to be friend of Krishna. Atmanivedanam, to surrender oneself to Krishna. Though there are 9 practices in devotional service, 9 forms of devotional service, the first 2 of them, they are considered to be the topmost. Shravanam and Kirtanam. They are the topmost form of devotional service. Now, this Shravanam and Kirtanam are considered, are condensed in one activity. So what is that one activity by which we can do both Shravanam and Kirtanam? Shravanam means to hear and Kirtanam means to chant. That is by doing a meditation, a special kind of meditation. So this special kind of meditation, what we are going to teach you, it can be done by anybody and everybody. It can be done by a small child. It can be done by an old man. It can be done by a lady, it can be done by a student, it can be done by a businessman, it can be done by anybody. It is a very practical method which I can distribute to you. What is the time now? I can distribute it. So it's a very practical method which Srila Prabhupada, the founder acharya of this International Society of Krishna Consciousness, has given us. So this is a simple method of performing devotion to Krishna. So what is that simple method? To chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Though there are so many devotional activities, for the age of Kali, this chanting of the holy names of Krishna are considered to be the best method and most practical method. It is said in the Vedic literatures, Krite dhyayato vishnum tretayam yato makehi dvapare paricharyayam kalota dhari kirtanat. So, krite dhyayato vishnum. In the age of Satya, in the age of Krita Yuga, people used to do Ashtanga Yoga. Many people ask this question about, what about Ashtanga Yoga? It is so difficult to perform the Ashtanga Yoga. Just imagine, Yama and Niyama, it is that itself cannot be performed these days. These days, as in the name of yoga, so much is being sold. They say yoga for better health. And some people even advertise yoga for better sex. So much is being sold in the name of yoga. Even Patanjali will be shocked. Hey, what is this? I wrote yoga for Chitta Vritti Nirodha. I wrote yogic principles so that a person's chitta, consciousness, the agitation in the consciousness can be neutralized. That is the purpose of yoga. But on the name of Patanjali Yoga, so much is being sold these days without understanding the purpose of Patanjali Yoga. Without practicing Yama and Niyama, nobody is allowed to do asana. These days you find people get drunk and next day morning they are doing asanas. Do you think Patanjali would like that? No, it is not possible. And now, until unless you perfected the asanas, you are not supposed to do pranayama. And the purpose of pranayama is so that you can
extend your lifetime, and in this life itself you can complete and go back home, back to Godhead. And just imagine if you do pranayam and your house is situated on a very busy road, you'll die faster. Morning I was discussing with someone saying that in Colombo so much of pollution is not there. In Bombay, if your house is on SV road or a link road and you do pranayam, what will happen? More carbon monoxide will go inside. So, suchodeche prashtishthaya. The purpose, the Ashtanga Yoga can only be performed when you go to a forest. These days there are no forest at all. Where you can do it, it's not practical. That is why Krite Dhyayatu Vishnum, in the age of Krite Yoga, people used to practice Ashtanga Yoga. And Tretayam Etomagahi, in the Treta Yoga, people used to do big fire sacrifices, swaha, swaha, like that. They used to chant Vedic Mantras and some sacrifices were done. Krite Dhyayatu Vishnum, Tretayam Etomagahi, Dvapare Paricharyayam. In the Dvapara Yoga means in Dvapara, that is just the previous age, Dvapare Paricharyayam. What is the meaning of Paricharyayam? People used to do big temples and do deity worship. But how can we do? We cannot do big sacrifices in this age, because to do sacrifice you require a qualified Brahmin. In the age of Kali, nobody is a qualified Brahmin. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Everybody by birth is a Shudra. And in the age of Kali, it's very difficult to find a Brahmin. And what to speak of Brahmin? You don't find ghee to put in the sacrifice. There is no proper ghee. In the market, these days, what is being sold as ghee is dalda. But you don't get proper ghee these days. How can you do any sacrifice? And big deity worship, it is also not possible. Just imagine in South India you have big temples, huge temples. And it is so difficult to build such temples nowadays. Though they were also built in Kali Yuga, just imagine in Dwapara Yuga how big temples were built. And deity worship. And we are not qualified for that these days. That is why in the age of Kali, Kalau Tat Hari Kirtanat, there is only one method in the age of Kali for self-realization. That is to chant the names of Hari. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the topmost yoga system. Many people, they are very much carried away with this yoga. They think yoga means standing upside down. But definitely yoga doesn't mean stand upside down. Or sometimes people think yoga means to do some mystical activity, some magic. Oh, some nowhere, some ash is God. Oh, he's yogi. And sometimes people think, yoga means what? Yoga means you should go somewhere to the forest, I should have a very big beard and do some meditation. So much is going on in the name of meditation. Some people say, oh, I meditate every day in the morning. Half an hour I do meditation. Then a question, whom do you meditate on? I don't know. Actually they are sleeping. So, if you don't even know whom you are meditating on, what meditation you are doing? So when you say meditation, that means there is an object of meditation, isn't it? Many people say, I meditate for half an hour in the morning. And they go to such a deep sleep at that time. Afterwards you ask them, whom did you meditate on? Just meditate, that's all. And when you say meditation, there is an object of meditation. So the best object of meditation is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And the simplest way to meditate on Him is to chant the names. And that is what is the most convenient in the age of Kali. So we will be teaching you today how to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to all of you. There is a particular method we have to chant it, and it can be done by everyone. And surprisingly, you can do this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra anytime. There is no niyamita smaraneya kala. Best is to do in the morning, but to do it every day in the morning is best. If you don't get time in the morning, the ladies, they have to get up early, take care of kids, husband, cook. Once you are free, whenever you are free and peaceful, you can do. But one thing you should make sure, What is that? You should give exclusive time for chanting. Not that you are watching TV and you're chanting. Not that you're cooking and chanting. So, I'll teach you how to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. I hope all of you have got the Japmalas. So, in the Japmala which has been given to you, it has got a special bead on top. It is called Meru, or is also known as Krishna bead. This is a special one. Hold it with your fingers. Don't touch the bead with your pointing finger. Don't touch the bead with your pointing finger. This pointing finger, which is on the index finger, in Sanskrit is known as Tarjani. It is inauspicious because we use it to keep in your ears and nose or something like that. And not only that, more in significance of this is that we are not using this. The significance of not using it is, if you want to show some fault in others, what do you say? As soon as you use his finger and say, you are an idiot, what happens, you know? That idiotic mentality in him, if at all it is there, it will come into you. It is like a receiver. It's like an antenna to receive all the criticism you do to come into you. So be very careful about it. Many times it so happens when you point some mistake in others. In the age of Kali, the reaction is so fast, within the same day you will do the same mistake. If you are very conscious, you observe. The reaction comes to you immediately. So, in my childhood, I still remember, if I used to show this finger, my mother used to beat me. Many a times, my mother had kept that, the dosa ka hand is in. She has made it hot and kept on this finger just because I used this finger. So, in the Vedic culture, everybody is taught not to use this finger. Anybody points this finger more, leave apart all the contamination coming to your consciousness, their life will be full of suffering. They always cry. They will be always miserable. If you really observe anybody who uses this finger more, they cry a lot. They suffer a lot. That is why we should not point this finger too much. Not at all, that is actually best. That is why it is inauspicious. We don't touch this Japmala with this finger. And now, holding this Japmala, this particular bead, we chant one mantra called the Panchatattva Pranam Mantra. In the piece of paper which has been given to you, there is one mantra in the Mangalacharan verses, there is one mantra, the last but one, Vyabodha Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Is one mantra, above the Hare Krishna mantra. So please chant the mantra after me. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivasadi, Gaurabhakta Vrinda. So you have chanted this mantra called Panchatattva Pranam Mantra. This Panchatattva Pranam Mantra, we chant it before chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra because this Hare Krishna Mahamantra was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. So we seek blessings from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates before we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When we chant Panchatattva Pranam Mantra, if at all we have done some mistake while chanting, then by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about whom we will come to know tomorrow, he will pardon us. So that is why it is very mandatory to chant the Panchatattva Pranam Mantra before we chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. So after chanting the Panchatattva Pranam Mantra, you go to the next bead. Hold the next bead. And then chant the Hare Krishna Mantra now after me. The couple of devotees can see whether they are chanting properly or not, turning the beads properly or not. So hold this next bead and chant the Hare Krishna mantra after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
go to the next speed now. Each speed you have to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, full mantra. Now you are going to chant the Hare Krishna mantra along with me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have chanted 108 times. Now when you continue the next round, you have to turn the japmala like this. You should not cross the Veeru or cross the Krishna Veeru. And then we start chanting again with the Panchatara Pranam Mantra. You want to start the second round. That is Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivada Guru Bhakti Vrinda. And then go on chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, when you are chanting, some people say, my mind goes here and there. Don't worry about it. You just have to be worried about one thing. Two things rather. Number one, whether you are pronouncing every syllable properly or not. Number two, whether you are hearing every syllable properly or not. These are the only two things which you should be concerned about. Just think about these two things, automatically the mind will be under control. So, to chant this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to chant one round, it takes around 7 to 8 minutes. Initially, for the first 1 week or 10 days, since you are not in practice, it may take 10 minutes.
But to chant one round after some days, a few days of practice, it takes only 7 to 8 minutes. Now if you want to chant 2 rounds, it will take 15 minutes. So now there is a homework for all of you before you come tomorrow. That is, you take the beads which you have, we are given to you. You take it to your home from tomorrow onwards, or tomorrow at least, for tomorrow at least. You chant 2 rounds and come. Tomorrow either you can take bath, after that you can sit and chant, or any time whenever you feel free, but make sure at that time no other disturbance is there. No phone calls you are going to attend, no other things attend. You're going to attend, no, not going to speak to anyone. 15 minutes, maybe because it's the first time, it takes 20 minutes. 20 minutes you give to me by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. This is your homework, and then tomorrow we'll discuss more elaborate about the practical application of Bhagavad Gita in our life. So today we'll end the session. Before we end the session, any questions please to ask. I know we are just over time a little bit. How much is the time?
Before
time,
we have 5 minutes.
Okay. Any questions? So please bring the Japmalas tomorrow. Keep it with you and bring it tomorrow. And everybody will chant 2 rounds and go. So any questions based on today's class? Yes.
Lot of material nature is changing, varying in the same person itself. And is it directly connected to sense gratification? Or how to remain in the mode of goodness?
Yeah. Definitely, the modes are always changing. Morning you are in goodness, afternoon in passion, night in ignorance. and it always changes. That is the nature. I already told that modes are always changing. But predominantly, somebody may be in passion and ignorance and goodness. So now your question is how to remain in goodness, isn't it? That is the question. So to maintain oneself in mode of goodness, the first and the foremost thing is to have a regulated life. And the pivot of all regulated life is to get up early in the morning and take your bath, finish all your bathroom work, everything in one stretch within half an hour, 45 minutes. Generally, people sometimes they get up early in the morning, but they continue these activities for a couple of hours and roam around. So as soon as you finish these activities within half an hour, and if you can sit for a few minutes, depending on your time, and gradually increase this time of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra in the morning after taking bath, even though by birth or by circumstance you are in passion or ignorance, at least for that day you will be in mode of goodness. So that is why to remain in mode of goodness, the first thing is this. And then of course there are some food habits and other regulative principles which we are going to talk about tomorrow. Okay? So here.
Why would you not go around that main bead?
It is considered a Meru. It is Krishna bead. Like something very sacred, you don't cross over it. That is the reason. It is considered Krishna is in the middle and the 108 gopis are there. So it's a tradition. There is no real philosophical understanding of it. It is just a tradition.
Yesterday's question. Always for you. Yeah.
Why are we in the physical world is so happy in the spiritual world? This is the last question anybody can ask. If somebody starts thinking about different things, then they land up into this question. Once somebody knows the answer to this question, there are no more questions. So what is the why? If you are happy in the spiritual world, why at all we came here, isn't it? Now, the whole purpose is somehow we are here, so think of getting out. But still, we need to answer for this. Why, if we are very happy in the spiritual world, why you came here? You see, there is a jail in Sri Lanka, in Colombo, there must be jail. People are quite happy, they are quite free. But still people go to jail, isn't it?
But if that person is intelligent, once he comes out of the jail, he will not go back. But if he wants to, he can die, do a crime and then go back. So, you find everything is free, everybody is happy, they can do some work and then be happy. But still people want to suffer in jail, isn't it? Like that, people, we are all in the spiritual world. What happens is, we are all serving Krishna there. And we are very happy. But though we are serving Krishna, since we are part and parcel of Krishna, there is a minute lording tendency within us. Minute lording tendency. And when we misuse the freedom, misuse the free will, then what happens? We try to lord over. Think, I want to be the enjoyer, I want to be the lord. Then says Krishna says, spiritual world is not the place where you can do this. You go to the material world and try to do these two things. To lord over and try to enjoy. We can only try. We can only try to enjoy, we can try to lord over. When we find out, after trying so many lifetimes after lifetimes to lord over, lifetime and lifetimes to enjoy, when we become unsuccessful, by great fortune we come across a devotee, then we remember, I am not the lord, I am not the enjoyer, then you go back to God, to spiritual world. So that is the answer. Second question is, why do we achieve so much of success if we give it all anyway? Then why are we striving hard to achieve success if we have to give it all anyway? That is my question too. That is why this whole course is meant for. To anyhow we need to give up all. So whatever required you do and then be happy. If we give up our all desires, then do I become spiritual? That is question. Actually, as soul, we are all spirit souls. The nature of the soul is to desire. So, by giving up desires, nobody becomes spiritual because the nature of the soul is spiritual. But what we are supposed to do is to have spiritual desires. We are not asking you to give up desires. We are asking you to have spiritual desires. Material desires are not going to make us happy because we are not material. If we are matter, then material desires will satisfy us. But we are not materials, we are spiritual. So what desires can satisfy us? Only spiritual desires can satisfy us. Then you may ask, what is spiritual desire? Everybody has a desire to sing and dance. So instead of singing and dancing in a party, where ultimately people get frustrated and come out, you sing and dance in the temple, in a satsang program, with Krishna's names. To have a desire to sing for Krishna, sing the names of Krishna is a spiritual desire. But to have a desire to dance and sing some film songs or some pop songs and rock songs, that is called material desire. Now, to have a desire, I want to go to that restaurant and eat that. That is material desire. To have a desire, I want to take prasadam. That is spiritual desire. It is said, Mahaprasad can be stolen and also taken. Even you can steal it and also take it. Because it's a normal thing in our ISKCON temple. Mahaprasad comes, hey, where is gone? Stolen. So, somebody has a desire, I want to build a big thing. No problem. Build a big temple for Krishna, like we are building in Colombo. So everybody has a desire, and I need to do something big, build a big temple for Krishna. Somebody has a desire, now I want to have a party. I want to do a party, go to a party. No problem, have a party. For 7 days you are having a party, isn't it? This is also a party. You meet friends, talk to them,
This also a party. Organize such parties, isn't it? Now you are going to have a 1 month party during Kartik. Regarding which tomorrow, Madan Gopal Prabhu will tell you. 1 month party, spiritual party. So this also party is a spiritual desire. So every desire can be spiritualized. Suppose somebody has a desire. I want to be a teacher. Yes, teach Bhagavad Gita. There is no much competition also. Isn't it? Not many teachers are there of teaching Bhagavad Gita. Teach. Somebody has a desire to do a drama. Okay, do. There are so many dramas in Krishna. So by giving desires, nobody becomes spiritual. By having spiritual desires, a person becomes spiritual. So other question was, speak something about Tulasi plant. So we don't say Tulasi plant, we address her as Tulasi Devi, Tulasi Maharani. Because she is not just a plant, she is a Devi, she is a Bhakti Devi. So she gives devotion. She is the one who bestows devotion. Without Tulasi, Krishna doesn't accept anything. So Tulasi is actually representative of devotion, because without devotion, Krishna doesn't accept anything. The story goes like this. All of them started praising about the glory of Rukmini to Satyabhava. Just imagine if some people talk about other women in front of a woman, what will happen? Satyabhava told, what is this? I am the most beautiful person. Krishna is mine. Krishna told, okay. On one condition, you are very rich, that is what people say. So anybody wants to purchase me, they can purchase against gold. So Krishna sat on one side of the balance, other side of the balance. Satyabhama started putting a lot of gold. And she finished off all the gold and she borrowed from people also. But Krishna was still down. Then the time came of Rukmini. Rukmini came. Just brought Tulasi leaf and kept on the other side of the balance, Krishna, and side went up. So that showed how Krishna can be accepted only by devotion. So Tulasi Maharani is Bhakti Devi. That is what I can tell for now, because there is so much which can be spoken about Tulasi Maharani. So any more, one last question before we finish off? Okay. Yes.
One way to assume that every human being gets spiritual and in the pursuit of spiritual world or whatever. Don't you think that there's so much of progress in humanity that has happened, the scientific inventions, the passion behind all that would stop and only the people end up being spiritual and nothing more gets discovered, nothing more gets invented. Yeah. The rest of the things we have in life is because people were passionate about it.
True.
So much was achieved. Let's say even the automobile technology, people were behind.
True.
Today we travel in cars. All this has happened because of that.
That is true. Nice question.
So if you have to leave all this, go after spiritual world, what happens to progress in humanity?
That is true. Wonderful. Nice question. So are we really progressing? That's the question. Okay. If we are progressing, towards what? When you say progress, when we say progress, we are actually talking about progress in a particular direction to a particular goal, isn't it? Definitely we are progressing. But towards what? Towards misery. Towards self-destruction. Every scientific invention, you may see the good aspect of it. But the purpose for which the invention was done was only for war. Internet was used by military 50 years back. Later on, it came to the commercial world. Whatever you find which is now being sold, it was there invented at least 25-30 years back and used by military. And the entire scientific development, it is just because war has to be waged. So the purpose behind that advancement, if you see technically, it is not to give comfort to people.
It was actually for military. When it became redundant for military, it came to the commercial field. And this is how it happened. Now, even though you may feel that it is giving some comfort, but the entire intention, I'm just talking about intention. The intention was not to give comfort to people. The intention of the scientific advance, and which all happened until today, it is only for war. It is not for comfort. Okay. Forget this ideology. And we'll just take it as a face value. This progress is giving comfort. It is all because of passion. Now, a person in mode of goodness also uses cars, mobiles, etc., etc. But he uses it for a proper purpose. Use it in a regulated way. That is why we are not against any scientific progress. We are against the misuse or overuse of the scientific progress. For example, the mobile in your house, the computer in your house. A person in mode of goodness also uses the computer. A person, a spiritual person, also uses the computer, but only with respect to its proper use. But if you see, 99% of the population in whosoever houses these computers and internets are there, is it used or misused? You ask it to yourself. 99% it is misused. And it is because of passion. Goodness, in goodness you use it. In passion, you overuse it or misuse it. In ignorance, it is just question of how to destroy. There is no question of use, it is only destruction. So mostly, people are using the scientific advancement, or rather misusing the scientific advancement. So we are not against scientific advancement, but we are against the misuse or the overuse of scientific advancement. Because of excessive use of the scientific things, there is a recent article which was published in one of the papers in Bombay. People's memory has become so short, they dial a number in the mobile and they keep it in the ear to hear the ringing phone. By the time two rings happen, they forget whom they have called. They forget whom they called. Now, in what direction we are progressing, tell me. Now, these days the children are being sent to IB schools and IG, all these kind of schools. They are told to use calculator. If you ask the child, what is 13 multiplied by 14? They cannot tell, because why to put in your memory? Because it's there in the memory of the calculator. But I still remember 25 tables, means 25 to 25, 25 to 25, 16 to 16, 16, 25, 16, 24, were in my memory in my childhood. Teachers teach. The human brains are becoming degraded on the name of advancement. You don't have to memorize, you just have to apply. In the schools, on the name of science, what is happening? There is degradation happening. So, progress is a must, but in proper direction. The proper direction is by goodness, by spirituality. Okay, go into another explanation. When you say you are just thinking of cards and some progress. If you think in the previous days when more people were spiritual and Vedic, there were no science. There were higher quality of science. Ask them to build one Ranganatha temple. The entire Indian government or Sri Lankan government cannot build it. Ask them to build one Madurai temple. They cannot build it. there was more scientific advancement. Veda, the science in Vedas, it is more advanced in the present science. You may not believe it. Oh, it's all fairy tale. That means, in other words, their science was so advanced that it's unbelievable. Some people say, oh, in Mahabharata, Agni Astra was there, that Astra was there. I don't believe it. But I take it in a different way. When they say, I don't believe it, I mean to say, that is so glorious that it is unbelievable. It is more advanced. You're not against it. But we should be more interested in proper use. Okay?
But without taking credit away from the Vedic science, whatever was accomplished long back,
yeah,
we also have edifices like Burj Khalifa today, these days, and okay, century, which is comparable to what was accomplished long time back. I'm just saying, we did make progress.
We're not against it.
Okay.
We're not against
it. My question is, a person in goodness, can he achieve this much?
Why not?
I'm only saying it's a regulated approach.
Why not?
You need passion to...
Person in goodness can achieve more better. If you see, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you go anywhere, people recognize us as the most advanced people in using management techniques or any other information, IT thing. Compared to any organization or any company in the entire world, ISKCON has the maximum number of websites. ISKCON has Krishna has the maximum number of searches in Google. So it is just a part of it. It is there, we use it. As I told, we are not against it. Simple life. A person like who was heading, no, he's not heading. The biggest software company in India, Infosys, Narayan Murthy. His life, you see, simple life. Isn't it? Simple living, high thinking. So you don't find that he is always in anxiety. So the principle is not the external things, the internal thing, what you are feeling. One may do big, big things and be a simple person. One may not do anything, rather mess up and be in anxiety. But most of the time we mess up things and then think that we have done something. And that is not goodness.
So person who has renounced can also create and make progress.
As I told during my lecture, renunciation has little to do with spirituality. Once I was giving a class in Baroda, in management college. And after the class got over, one girl asked me a question. Swamiji, why you have given up the society, why you are renounced? Then I asked her, parties you attend a week? She was shocked. Then I told, maybe one also. Then I told that I attend 7 parties a week. How many friends do you have on your email list? Much. So we have a wrong idea of spirituality. Spirituality, in simple words, if I have to tell, if you have added Krishna to your life, you are spiritual. If you have renounced Krishna, then you are material. That's simple. That is why we say, don't give up anything. You add Krishna to your life. Naturally, bad elements will go away. That is what is Krishna consciousness. Add Krishna to your life. Keep Krishna in your center. That makes everything spiritual. Even if you want to renounce, what will you renounce? First of all, nothing belongs to you to renounce. Even if you renounce, where will you go? There will make something. Isn't it? There will attach something. So that is nothing to do with much of spiritual life. Okay. We stop here. Thank you very much.